الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in a previous class, the author, he mentioned a narration from Ibrahim al-Nakhai, رحمه الله تعالى, how the Salaf, they used to examine individuals before they would take knowledge from them, before they would learn, they would weigh them up with regards, they would weigh them up to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their outward appearance, manners and conduct, specifically with the salah. If we read again that narration of Ibrahim al-Nakhai, he said, rahimahullah, kanu ay ashab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhum, kanu idha ataw rajula liya'khudhu anhu, kanu idha ataw rajula liya'khudhu anhu al-ilma nadharu ila salatihi. That they used to, meaning the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhum, if they would go to a man in order to take knowledge from him, nadharu ila salatihi, they would look to his salat, wila sunnatihi, and to his sunnah, meaning his ways and his application of the laws and legislation and guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ila hayatihi, in his appearance, thumma ya'khudhuna anhu, and if his affair was in accordance outwardly, then they would take from him. I was mentioning a narration from Al-Ta, likewise, similarly. But after referring in the library, we have in the library here in the masjid, there's the work that I was referring to, Sir Alam al-Nubala, volume number 4. And it's actually narrated by Abu al-Aliya, rahimahullah ta'ala. If I remember correctly, there's a similar narration as well by Al-Ta, but we will review that inshallah. But what I was referring to was another narration by Abu al-Aliya. So we have volume number 4 here from the Masjid Library, and it's on page 209. It says that Abu al-Aliya, he would say, rahimahullah, كنت أرحل إلى الرجل مسيرة أيام ليسمع منه, that I used to travel to a man the distance of days. I should travel to a man the distance of days in order to hear from him, meaning in order to take knowledge from him. فَتَفَقَدُ صَلَاتَهُ, so I would examine his salat. فَنْوَجَدُّهُ يُحْسِنُهَا أَقَمْتُ عَلَيْهِ, and if I found that he prayed good in the proper manner, and he following the sunnah outwardly, and that which is apparent, establishing in his proper manner, in proper way, and the likes like this, then I would stay there. Meaning I would stay there and I would benefit from him. وَإِنْ أَجِدْهُ يُضَيِّئْهَا رَحَلْتُ وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ مِنْهُ, and if I found that he neglected the salah, then I would leave and I would not listen to him. And if the man he's already traveled the distance of days, and then whenever he gets there, he doesn't hasten, rather he examines, and then if he finds it good, alhamdulillah, he will remain. But if it's not good, it would not bother him at all, rather he would leave. He would not say, oh, you know, while I came this far, I might as well just see what he's talking about, might as well check him out, just click one time and listen for a minute. And the likes like this, what did he say? He said, إِنْ وَجَدْتُهُ إِنْ أَجِدْهُ يُضَيِّئْهَا رَحَلْتُ وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ مِنْهُ, and if I found that he neglected the salat, then I would leave. I would travel and leave, and I would not listen to him. وَقُلْتُ هُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعْ, وَقُلْتُ, and I would say, هُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعْ, and he would say that with regards, if that's the case with the salat, then with regards to other than that, then he's even more negligent. Because the salat is the scale for a person's life. If he upholds the rights of the salat, then his life will be upright by the permission of Allah. But if he neglects the salat, this is a clarification. This is an indication that the rest of his life is also neglected. Any of the most important affairs, that which takes precedence from the issues of the religion. Because as-salatu amudul Islam. Salat is the main pillar, yani the amud, that's holding up the religion. So if a person neglects it, then his Islam is falling. His Islam is failing. Waliyadu billah. So we continue reading. The author, he says, Al-Aslu As-Sadis, the sixth principle. Al-Irtibat Al-Wathiq Bi-Ulama As-Sunnah. Having a strong connection with the scholars of the Sunnah. The author, he says, rahimahullah, لا يخفى على أحد فضل العلماء والمكانة التي يتبوؤونها في الشريعة الإسلامية, ولكن بعض الناس يخلط بين الحث على الارتباط بالعلماء وبين التأسب لهم وتقليدهم, وهذا خطأ كبير. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, The virtue and status of the scholars in Islam are undeniable. It's not something that's hidden. Everybody knows their rank and their lofty status. And their role is central to the preservation and dissemination of the legislative knowledge. However, some people confuse the encouragement to connect with scholars with fanaticism and blind following them, which is a serious mistake. So the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, which we have been discussing, which is the reality of a da'wah salafiyya, a sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal, is a path between two paths. It's a straight path, upright, beautiful path of light and goodness and mercy between two paths. One going to extreme on the right and the other one going to extreme on the left. One is going to extreme and going beyond the boundaries and transgressing the limits, and the other is going to extreme by way of negligence. And both of them are going away from the straight path. So the straight path is a path that's between these two extremes. Extreme negligence and extreme deviation and going beyond the boundaries. Bayna al-ifrati wa al-tafriyat. Al-ifrat wa al-tafriyat. Al-ifrat yani al-gulu, to go beyond the boundaries, to be extreme and go beyond the boundaries and transgress the limits. And al-tafriyat yani al-tasahul. At-tasahu, to be negligent. But some people that go to extremes to transgress the boundaries, and others will go to extremes in negligence in all aspects of the religion. Ahlul Sunnah is always in the middle. Ahlul Sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is always in the middle. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum, is always in the middle. The moderate course between these two. Between these two extremes. When you study creed, you'll find the path of the Prophet moderate, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between extremes. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, they go extreme. And the Murji'ah, they go extreme. But they're completely opposite extremes. They're completely opposite extremes. And likewise, the Jabariyyah and the Qadariyyah, there's extremes here. And the people of the Sunnah, they're always in the middle. In manners and conduct, they're always in the middle. And dealing with women, they're always in the middle. In the likes like this. Any of the Jews, they go to extremes, the way that they dealt with their women. And the Christians, they're very negligent in the way that they dealt with their women, specifically with regards to the issue of the hayd, so on and so forth. This is just examples of how the Sunnah, the pure Sunnah, is the moderate path between two extremes. So now with regards to the discussion of the scholars, likewise, this is the case. The moderate path, the upright path, the straight path, the good way, is the way that's between two extremes. Some people go to extremes and they raise the scholars to levels that they do not deserve, and others are very negligent, and they drop scholars and they bash them and speak ill of them whenever they have no right to do that. So some they raise them beyond their level, and some belittle them and speak ill of them and neglect their rights. As for the people of the Sunnah, then they recognize the rights of the people of knowledge, and they give them the status and the honor that they respect without going to extremes. Some of this has proceeded, as the author, he mentioned in the introduction, we follow and we love the scholars of the Sunnah, but we do not deem any of them to be infallible, and that they are human beings and they're exposed to forgetfulness and to error. But the benefit and the goodness that the upright scholars of the Sunnah bring is much greater than their errors or their times that they're forgetful. So these small errors or these few times of forgetfulness are drowned out in the virtue of their benefit and goodness. And this is the difference between the true scholars of the Sunnah and those who claim to be from the scholars of the Sunnah, yet they are simple claims, and yet the scholars of deviation. You will find that the evils and the ills that they bring and the problems that they bring are greater than the good that they may have. So that little good or virtue that they have is drowned out in the ocean of fitan and trials. So this is from this affair. Number six, a strong connection with the scholars of the Sunnah. But we must understand what is intended by that. We're not talking about going to extremes and declaring the scholars to be infallible, and that you must blind follow them in everything that they say, and they cannot make a mistake, not in the absolute sense and not in one science specifically. Some of them, they'll go very far, like the Shia and the Sufiya, declaring some of their imams to be infallible in everything, or that they know the unseen and the likes like this, or even many, many extremes. And others, they don't necessarily say that, but they'll act like that in one particular science. In this science, oh, he can never make a mistake. He's the imam of this science, and that science, he never makes a mistake. And this science and that science. Like this, this is all from these problems that from trials and misunderstandings that come about from the likes of this principle. So from a da'wah salafiyah is to have al-irtibat bi ulama al-sunnah. يعني بالوثيق الارتباط الوثيق بعلماء السنة, that to have a strong connection with the scholars of the Sunnah. However, some people confuse the encouragement to connect with scholars with fanaticism and blind following them, which is a serious mistake. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, فالارتباط بالعلماء يعني أخذ العلم عنهم يعني أخذ العلم عنهم والاستفادة منهم بالتوجيه والإرشاد ونحو ذلك فما أنه كما أنه يعني أيضا تقليدهم مما يسوغ له التقليد من العامة ومن ليس مؤهلا لتمييز القرار في القضايا العلمية. So he says connecting with the scholars means acquiring knowledge from them. يعني you learn from them. You're connected with the scholars meaning you learn from them. You benefit from their knowledge and their guidance and from their teaching. He says benefiting from their guidance and advice, blind following them when permissible also is included, particularly for laymen and those unqualified to independently evaluate complex scholarly matters. And so the issue of blind following is allowed in certain circumstances and in certain situations for certain types of individual. And they are the laymen who are ignorant and they do not have the tools of knowledge that they're able to differentiate between the statements of the scholars. So in these issues here, they will blind follow someone who's reliable from the people of knowledge of the Sunnah. And these issues that they're not able to evaluate, and the issues there's a difference of opinion, for example, in the issues of jurisprudence, and the issues of some of the actions of Salat, for example, or other issues from the application of some of the righteous actions and deeds, or some of the different laws and transaction and the likes like this. A layman, he doesn't have the knowledge to delve into the differences of opinion and to be able to weigh up the statements of the scholars and to find which one is heavy based upon evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. So since he does not have the ability to do that, then his requirement is to ask the people of knowledge who are reliable and get the judgment from them and follow that blindly. Because he doesn't have the ability to evaluate. Because he doesn't have the ability to evaluate. So blind following is something that's blameworthy. But it becomes an obligation upon a Muslim whenever he has no knowledge and he's in a situation where he's in need to work by the Islamic legislation. He doesn't know how to differentiate or how to understand these evidences or these particular issues. So he'll get a fatwa from a reliable scholar of the Sunnah and he will blind follow that. And this is his requirement here. Allah, he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So the issue of blind following would be allowed in this circumstance. But if the evidence was ever presented to him and he's seen that clearly and it's contrary to the fatwa that he received or that he was familiar with and he understands that, then he must leave that fatwa. And he must follow the knowledge that has reached him. He must follow the knowledge that has reached him. The layman, for example, he's blind following a madhab, for example. For example, a layman, he's blind following a madhab because he doesn't have knowledge. So that's lawful for him in general and the application of the actions of the religion. And if somebody advised him and brought some narrations for him and clarified for him the affair, and then he rejected it as he says, no, I'm Hanafi, no, I'm Shafi, and the likes like this is not allowed. This is blameworthy. This is what the author, he mentioned earlier, that we do not do. We cast blind following away in this manner and fanaticism to a particular madhab. Whether we study the books of the madhab, but we follow the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we weigh up the statements of the scholars of those madhab with the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the Sahaba and the likes like this. And we follow the one that's strongest with regards to that evidence. So this is the proper way. As for the one who does not have that ability, then he will blind follow. So these issues, they have details. Not everything is black and white. Blind following is blameworthy. Like this, you can never do it. Or he's misguided. There's details here. Sometimes it's an obligation. Sometimes it becomes an obligation. Sometimes, he's not blameworthy for that. He's blameworthy because he's ignorant. Nobody likes to be ignorant. Ignorance is not a praiseworthy trait. But in his situation, that's his requirement. So that's what he will do, and that's what's legislated for him. And that's what's legislated for him, and a state of ignorance with regards to these rulings, and not having the ability to analyze the statements of the people of knowledge and understand the evidences of the book and the sunnah. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا أَلِلْتِبَعْثِ بِعُلَمَاءِ السَّلَفِ سَبَقَ أَنْ قَرَّرْنَاهُ وَأَوْضَحْنَاهُ وَبَيَّنَّا فَوَائِدَهُ سبق أن قررناه وأوضحناه وبينا فوائده وبينا الأضرار التي تترتب عندما يتخلى الناس عنه. We have previously emphasized this connection with the scholars. We have previously emphasized and clarified this connection to the scholars of the Salaf in the past, and we have clarified its benefits as well as the serious consequences when people neglect it. As we have seen in our previous classes, alhamdulillah, in al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya, that the scholars, the true upright scholars of the sunnah, they are the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they're the chain, they're the connection back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the means to understand the evidences of the Quran and the sunnah. They themselves and their statements are not evidence and proof, but they're the light. Allah has made them the means to shed light and to direct the people to the Quran and the sunnah, to the evidences of the in the book of Allah and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand how these evidences here indicate this ruling, that this is obligatory and this is impermissible, and that this is recommended and that this is forbidden, and the likes like this. So the scholars, they shed light on these affairs and clarify for us and teach us and cultivate us how to benefit from the book and the sunnah. How to benefit from the book and the sunnah. So they're our chain and our connection back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person, he gets away from them, then the devil would take advantage of him, and he has no connection. There's a chain going back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقَ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مِنْ خَذَلَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ كَذَلِكَ. There will always remain a group from my ummah who's victorious, upright upon the truth. No harm will come to them from those who abandon them until the hour is established. The hadith in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhum. This is the people of knowledge. They're that ta'if. They're that group. They're that group that is always remaining victorious, upright upon the truth, because the truth is only identified by knowledge and light. And thus, people of knowledge, they're the bearers of knowledge and light. So therefore, they're the chain and connection back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's so important to be able to identify the true scholars of the sunnah. And that's why the devil, waliyadu billah, and the deviant, misguided individuals, they have great efforts in confusing the layman and the students of knowledge with regards to who the true scholars are. This is from the great traps and tricks of the devil to make people think that this person is a qualified scholar when in reality he's a deviant. Or in reality he's not qualified. Rather, he's speaking beyond his level and he's stepping outside of his boundaries and he's causing many problems and troubles and the likes like this. Some people, they're not able to identify this, and this is a great calamity. From the greatest blessings and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal is being guided to the scholars of the sunnah. To know who the scholars of the sunnah are. This is from the guidance and favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, to know who the people of the sunnah are, and the scholars of the sunnah, and the students of the sunnah. This is very important. And to identify them from those who claim to be from them and they're not from them. This is a fundamental principle. معرفة العلم والعلماء والفقه والفقهاء ومعرفة من تشبه بهم وليس منهم. To know what is knowledge and to know what is fiqh in the deen, and to know who the people of knowledge are and who are the jurists and the people who have understanding in the religion, and to know those who imitate them and they're not from them. This is a fundamental principle. For success in life. This is light. In order to have light, we have to know who the people of knowledge are, and we have to learn from them and benefit from them and suffice with them, and not just take knowledge from anywhere. So he says again, we have previously emphasized and clarified this connection to scholars on the of the Salaf in the past and in other works. For example, we discussed some of these affairs in Awa'iq al-Talib, and he says, and we have clarified its benefits, the benefits of knowing who the scholars of the Sunnah are. And also, we have clarified as well the serious consequences when people neglect it. People go astray and deviate in a great manner because of not knowing who the people of knowledge are, or thinking that people are the people of knowledge and they're not the reliable, trustworthy people of knowledge. This is a very serious affair. The author, he says, يقول الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله في معرض بيان نعم الله على هذه البلاد، فنقى لكم دينكم من البدع والإشراك، وسلمكم من وسائل الشرك وطرق الغي والحلاك بوسائل وأسباب يسرها سبحانه، حيث أقام لكم كل إمام قد استقام على الصراط المستقيم. فكان إمامكم الإمام أحمد بن حنبل أكبر إمام نقل السنة والكتاب، وبه وبأصحابه وبأتباعه ونظرائه يعرف السني من البدع من سائر الطوائف والأحزاب. الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى, he has highlighted Allah's blessings upon the people of this land. On the people of this land, saying Allah has purified your religion. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman Sa'di rahimahullah, he's clarifying for the people of Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudi in his days, harasahallahu azza wa jal, the great favors and blessings that Allah had bestowed upon them in those lands specifically. So he says, rahimahullah, Allah has purified your religion from innovations and from shirk, and protected you from the means of leading to these affairs, providing you with scholars who adhere to the straight path. Among them was Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, the great Imam who preserved the Sunnah and the Quran. Through him, his students and his followers, the distinction between Sunnis and innovators became clear. And because this land here, Al-Mamlaka Arabiya Saudi, is established upon the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmed. And also Al-Imam Ahmed, he is Imamu Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, especially in Aqidah and in Creed. And they're also established upon that creed and Aqidah, alhamdulillah, the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah haqqan. He says, حتى أقام الله شيخ الإسلام والمسلمين أحمد بن تيمية فجاهد الكفار والمنافقين وسائر الملحدين وأظهر من صريح السنة وعلامها وعلومها ما أجزت عنه مدارك الأولين والآخرين، وسلك طريقته تلاميذته وأتباعه من العلماء المحققين. And then Allah, he raised Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who fought against the disbelievers, the hypocrites and the atheists. He brought forth the clear sunnah and its sciences in an unprecedented manner. His students and followers continued his path. حتى جاءت النوبة بشيخ الجزيرة وإمامها شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله فقام بهذا الأمر أتم القيام فلم يزل في جهاد مع الأعداء حتى نشر التوحيد الخالص والسنة المحضة بين العباد وقمع الشرك ووسائله والبدع والفساد. He says later, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah emerged in the Arabian Peninsula. He perfectly fulfilled his responsibility, striving tirelessly against the enemies until he spread the pure tawheed and the true sunnah among the people. He eradicated shirk, its means, innovations and corruptions. فخلصت الجزيرة ولله الحمد وانصبغت بالسنة والتوحيد فسلمت بمساعيه المشكورة ومساعي تلاميذه وأحفاده وأنصاره من الشرك فلن تجد فيها ولله الحمد قبة على قبر ولا مشهدا ولا توسلا بالمخلوقين ولا موليدا ولا معبدا أو ليس من أكبر نعم الله عليكم وأجل إحسان الله إليكم إن قيض لكم هؤلاء السادة الغرر الذين حافظ الله بهم الدين الصحيح وتحقق وانتشر حتى نشأتم وأباؤكم وأولادكم تشربون من معين الشريعة أسفى الشراب وتغترفون من زلالها أحسن اغتراف لم تدركوا هذا بوسيلة منكم ولا قوة علم ولا ذكاء وإنما ذلك فضل الله الذي ليس له غاية ولا انتهاء. So he says, rahimahullah, the Arabian Peninsula was purified, all praise and thanks be to Allah, and imbued by the Sunnah and Tawheed through his commendable efforts, his students, descendants, and supporters. And he Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and his students and his descendants, his family and relatives, and his supporters, those upon his way. He said it was protected from shirk, and you will not find in it, yani in al-mamlaka, al-arabiya, al-saudiya, may Allah preserve them and protect them, all praise and thanks be to Allah. You will not find in that land, all praise and thanks be to Allah, a dome built over a grave, nor shrines, nor supplications directed to the created beings, yani, nor worshipping and supplicating people besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, nor celebrations of birthdays, nor any forms of worship in unauthorized places. Is this not among the greatest blessings of Allah upon you and the most tremendous of His favors, that He has chosen for you these noble leaders who preserved the true religion, established it, and caused it to spread? You and your fathers and your children have grown up drinking from the pure spring of the legislation, partaking of its most pristine waters. You did not achieve this by your own means, knowledge, or intelligence, but rather it is a favor from Allah, which knows no boundaries or limits. He says, Rahimahullah, بينما ترون الأقطار الأخرى محشوة بالشرك والكفر والإلحاد الصراح مملوءة بالبدع وبناء المشاهد القبور والأخلاق الكباح فاحمدوا ربكم على هذه النعم التي لا تستطيعون لها عدا ولا شكورا. He says, meanwhile, other regions and the areas around that country and those lands are filled with open shirk, disbelief and blatant innovations. They are rife with grave worship and moral practices and vile behaviors. So thank Allah for these blessings that you cannot fully enumerate or adequately repay and show thanks for. That's the end of the statement of Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah. He says, فَلَوْ أَنَّنَا إِرْتَبَطْنَا بِهَذِهِ الْحَلْقَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, or Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, irtibatan tamman. وقان الله الوقوع في البدع والانحراف وراء التيارات المبطلة المضلة التي ترتدي ثياب السنة والسنة بريئة منها كل البراءة. If we firmly adhere to the teachings of this noble chain of scholars, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahum Allah, Allah will safeguard us from innovations and misleading ideologies masquerading as the Sunnah, while the Sunnah is entirely free from them. He says, مَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا هَذَا النَّقْصِ إِلَّا يَوْمَا أَنْ تَرَكْنَا هَذَا الْمَنْهَجِ وَضَرَبْنَا عَنْهُ صَفْحَةً وَاسْتَغْنَيْنَا عَنْهُ بِمَنَاهِجَ اسْتَقْدَمَهَا لَنَا أُنَاسٌ مِّنْ مِصْرِ وَالْهِنْدِ وَمِنْ غَيْرِهَا وَهِيَ مَنَاهِجُ بَعِيدَةٌ كُلَّ الْبُعْدِ عَنْ مَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. He said, the decline began when we abandoned this methodology and replaced it with foreign methodologies imported from Egypt, India, and elsewhere. Methodologies that are far away from the path of the pious predecessors. Methodologies that are far away from the path of the pious predecessors. Alhamdulillah. We have finished the sixth principle. Since it was a short chapter, we take some benefits with regards to this. Insha'Allah ta'ala. The issue of being connected to the scholars. We have a number of practical examples of how a Muslim can be connected with the scholars. Number one, حضور مجالس العلم والمحاضرات, attending the lessons and the lectures of the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. الارتباط بالعلماء يتحقق من خلال حضور دروسهم ومحاضراتهم سواء كان ذلك في المساجد أو المراكز الإسلامية أو عبر الوسائل التقنية الحديثة. So connecting with the scholars is achieved by attending their lessons and lectures, whether in the masajid or in the Islamic centers or through modern means of technology. So to connect with the scholars, there's many different examples of how a believer in these days can connect with the people of knowledge and keep a strong connection with them. At the head of that is to attend their lessons and their lectures and to sit in their gatherings. And to learn from them, whether they're in the masajid, which is the first and foremost is the place for the people of knowledge to gather and to benefit and to spread their knowledge, and likewise in Islamic centers, as well as through other means of technology that we have today. For example, you can follow the lessons. For example, in these days, a person, he can travel to Medina, he can travel to Mecca, he can make Umrah, and then while he makes Umrah, he can go to Medina, and he can sit in the Durus in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. He can sit in the Durus of Sheikh Abdul Razak twice a day, Hafidhullah. He can sit in the Durus of Sheikh Sulaiman Al-Ruhaydi, sometimes twice a day or more than that, Hafidhullah. He can sit in the other classes also that are found in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi itself, from the reliable, upright, noble scholars of the Sunnah, and likewise other masajid as well, and other places in Medina. So a person, he can move himself, he can travel, he can go and seek knowledge, and the avenues are open today. So this is from the aspects of that. And likewise, if a person is not able to travel, he has no excuse, because those same lessons, they're broadcast live daily at the same time. those same lessons are broadcast live daily at the same time. Yani there's about to be lessons on coming on tonight, inshallah, after Fajr in Medina tonight will be around 10 o'clock approximately. We're in this area a little bit after 10, and the Darsi will come on broadcast live. You just wait and push the button and listen as if you're attending, alhamdulillah. And then also tomorrow after, in the morning time, around Asr time in Medina, there's a Dars and it's broadcast live. You can listen alone. The same teachers that I used to sit with, alhamdulillah, I still sit with them. You can sit with them live. And even if you happen to miss and you're busy at work at that time and you can't make it to listen to the live recording, you can listen to the live broadcast, you can listen to the recording. It's available. Or many classes that have been previously given, you can listen to them. They're recorded. You can benefit from that. Sometimes you can even watch them on the screen. You can see them literally in front of your face, which is not necessary, but it's available sometimes. You can, bare minimum, you can listen, alhamdulillah. You can listen to Usul al-Thalatha from the beginning to the end by Sheikh Abdul Razak, by Sheikh Suleiman, by Sheikh Fozan, by so many great scholars that are alive today. Even the books of Sheikh Uthaymeen, they're explained, and the audios of Sheikh Uthaymeen, they're explained. We never even seen Sheikh Uthaymeen, but we know his voice from listening to him, alhamdulillah. We never even seen Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah, but we know his voice. We never seen Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, but we know his voice. We know his voice because of this great blessing that we have today of these recorded lectures that are passed down. Before they passed down books, alhamdulillah, this is a great means of da'wah and teaching and spreading knowledge, but now we have recordings. Recordings, lessons that are recorded from the beginning to the end, from the first page to the last page. You can sit down and listen. You can sit down and benefit. You can take notes. Even if you're extremely busy, you can just listen while you're on the road. You can listen when you're moving. The best thing, no doubt, is to take the book and a notepad and to listen by yourself and to take notes as if you're there. And to stop it and to replay it until you got what you need from it. Take your time with it, alhamdulillah. But if you can't even do that, then you don't leave it. Rather, you just put it in your ear and you walk and you drive and you do what you do and listen on your way. And you don't miss out, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, taking advantage of these means, this is a great way to be connected with the people of knowledge. To be connected with the people of knowledge, to listen to their classes, especially the classes that are today, any of the things that are going on today, so that you stay in tune, you stay up to date with affairs that are going on and with the classes and the lessons that are going on. This is of utmost importance. But there's a great requirement to do what I'm speaking of directly. And that is one key. Huh? Arabic. Ahsant. You have to know Arabic. You have to know Arabic. Huh? I'm talking about sitting with scholars. The scholars, they speak Arabic. We're talking about sitting directly with the scholars. The scholars, they speak Arabic. So this is the key here. If you want to go, what we're saying now, to go to Medina, to go to Mecca, to seek knowledge, to go to Riyadh, to seek knowledge. And then like, it's like this, you have to know Arabic. You have to learn Arabic. Once you learn Arabic, the avenues, they open. The avenues of seeking knowledge, they open for you. Alhamdulillah, the doors, they become wide open. They become wide open for learning. You can go there and learn, or you can stay here and learn. Alhamdulillah, you can learn a lot in a great manner and take advantage of your time and benefit in a great, great, great manner. Alhamdulillah, but you have to know the Arabic language. You have to know and be fluent in the Arabic language. You have to know and be fluent in the Arabic language. From the greatest tricks of the devil for the students of the Arabic language is to make them believe and think they know Arabic and they don't. So don't fall for that trick. Many people, they think they know Arabic, they don't know Arabic. And then wind up sufficing with that. And then they never go beyond. And they can't read a book, they can't listen to a lecture, they only can pick out words, and they pretend like they understand, but they got it wrong and it's backwards. And they don't really know. So don't fall for that trap. Don't fall for that trap. Just keep learning, keep studying, keep striving until it's very clear you know exactly what they say. You read the book, you know exactly what it means. You can read it clearly, you don't need the haraka. It becomes fluent for you, it becomes a part of you. You become Arab, bilisanik, yani with your tongue. So this is an effort that you have to make. If you don't know Arabic, then you're not lost or you're not left out. Alhamdulillah, you benefit from the students who are teaching, for those who are reliable. There's also classes that are recorded. You can do the same thing in English. It's not the best thing, but it's the next best thing. It's the next best thing. So also there are many classes that are recorded. Many classes that are recorded. Also many classes that are broadcast live. Also many classes that are in the masajid from the students teaching in English and the likes like this. And this is also very beneficial. So there's ways to be connected with knowledge and the people of knowledge. With knowledge and the people of knowledge. This is the point. This is the point. So there's daily lessons. There's daily lessons in the masajid with the scholars, with the students of knowledge. And there are broadcasts for those who can't make it, for the scholars and the students of knowledge. And there are recordings for the scholars and the students of knowledge. So there's no excuse for a believer to not be able to learn in advance and make improvements in his religion and understanding in the deen. So this is all from the aspects of being connected with the people of knowledge, from being connected with the people of knowledge. Also from that as well is benefiting from the reliable fatawa. Benefiting from the reliable fatawa. Seeking guidance from the people of knowledge by asking them questions and gaining an understanding in contemporary issues. Asking questions and getting fatawa. Either you can do that directly, or also you can ask someone who can ask for you, or you can ask the people of knowledge, so on and so forth. This is all from the means of being connected to the people of knowledge. Whenever there's something you're unaware of or it's not clear for you, that you go to those who are reliable and you ask for the fatwa. You ask for the fatwa, either directly from the people of knowledge or those who have the ability to contact them, or those who have the ability to search and research and find their statements and clarify their fatwa and the likes like this. All of this is from the means of being connected with the people of knowledge. Of being connected with the people of knowledge. And likewise, especially in times of new issues in Nawazil. There's new issues that are occurring and trials and tribulations that are happening, or new affairs that come up in business or in trade, or so on and so forth, that there's no clear evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. The people of knowledge, they will have to make a judgment with regards to this. So a person has to be able to connect with them one way or another. One way or another, like we said, by going to them, or by calling them, or by texting them, or by knowing the people who are in contact with them, so on and so forth, or being able to research their efforts and their works from the reliable websites, for example, or also from the books that are reliable. All of this is from the aspects of having a connection with the people of knowledge, from the aspects of having a connection with the people of knowledge. Likewise, reading in their works, acquiring and studying books, and building a library in the likes like this to gain a greater understanding in the religion and have a strong foundation in the Islamic sciences by reading and studying yourself, and reading and studying, for example, the fundamental books like Usul al-Thalatha, and reading the explanations of the reliable scholars like Sheikh Fawzan, or Sheikh Uthaymeen, or Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahumallah. And you purchase these books from the great means of bringing blessing and light to yourself, first and foremost, and your family and your household, is by building a library. By building a library in your home, this is a type of connecting with the people of knowledge, connecting with the scholars. And it doesn't always have to be a personal relationship. This is my point. You want to be involved in knowledge. And if you have beneficial books from reliable students and people of knowledge in your home, in Arabic and English and the likes like this, and you direct your children, then many times you'll find them picking up a book whenever you didn't even order them. You'll find them, they'll go to the library and they'll pick up a book about the biography of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They'll read about the conditions of Salah and the likes like this. Sometimes they have nothing to do, they want to read, they'll go grab a book that you have in your library and they'll read it and benefit, alhamdulillah. So you make these things ready available. You make these things ready available, and you get all the other filthy books or magazines or other things that are in the house possibly, you get rid of that type of stuff. And you build a library with Usul al-Thalatha, Kitab al-Tawheed, Shurut al-Salah, and the likes like these affairs, the biography of the Sahaba and the youth around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of these type of beneficial books in English and Arabic and the likes, and you have this available for your children and yourself and your family and the home. And possibly you can even sit down and read it sometimes with them as well, Also something to benefit from, barakallahu fikum, in the manner of connecting with the people of knowledge. And these days specifically, I mentioned the recorded lessons, but for those who want to be serious, to take those recorded lessons and to listen to them one after the other until you finish the entire book. You follow a program. If you want to study Aqidah, you pick a program. You follow the proper methodology, the proper way. You start with the first book, the small book, and you go, the first lesson, we'll say it's 5 classes, 6 classes, 10 classes. You listen to the first one, after that you listen to the second one. After that you listen to the third one. After that, all the way till you get to the last one. And then whenever you're done, you say alhamdulillah, and you go to the next book after that. You go to the next book after that, and you start with the first one, and you go to the end. And you start, and after that you finish, you go to the next one. And you go to the end. You want to study fiqh, likewise, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. You start with the right. If you know Arabic, you start with the books. If you want to study aqidah, you start with the works of Sheikh Abdul Razak. And if you want to study fiqh, you start with the works of Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili. And the recordings that they have, and wallahi, you will have a strong foundation. Wallahi, you will have a strong foundation. The recordings are there and ready available. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Also, the Sheikh Fawzani has many recordings. There's others likewise. But these are very ready available, and they're very, very beneficial. And the point that I'm making with regards to these two is because also along with that, there are programs now on Telegram, where there is a program that lasts a year or more, where a particular, they have a syllabus. Sheikh Abdul Razak has a syllabus on a number of different subjects. On Aqidah, there's like five mustawa on Aqidah. And the first mustawa 01 on Aqidah, and Sheikh Abdul Razak's Aqidah program, there you study for 1 year. And in that one program, you finish, I'm not going to mention all of them, but I'll mention a lot of them. You finish Qawaid Arba, Usul Sitta, Nawaqid Islam, Usul Thalatha, Kitab al-Tawheed, Kitab al-Kibar, Kashf al-Shubuhat, Masail al-Ja'iliyyah, and other books. That's one level. That's one level. But they send down two or three or four lessons a week. And every month you have a test. So you follow along at your pace. But as long as you listen to the 20 classes of that month, then you take the test and you get better than 60, you move on. You continue, whenever you're done, they're going to give you a shahada, which is beneficial, alhamdulillah. It's just a shahada indicating that you attended and you passed those tests. But the most beneficial thing is that you studied this work from the beginning to the end in moderation, in a way of syllabus, in a structured manner. You finish this book, you went to the next one after it. Then the next one after it, the next one after it. Then after you do that, you finish Mustawa Awwal, you go to Mustawa Thani, Mustawa Thalith, Mustawa Rab, Mustawa Khamis. Alhamdulillah, that's in Aqidah. He has one in Tafsir. He has one in Adab. He has one in Akhlaq. He has one in Sirah. He has one in Islah Al-Qulub. He has, Alhamdulillah, there's two in Hadith, actually. And there's one in Fiqh now that's new. Alhamdulillah. So what I'm telling you to do, this is what I do myself. Alhamdulillah. These programs, I finished almost all of them by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So after coming home from Medina, I'm looking for means to learn, because we used to sit with people of knowledge and study and go to school and study. Alhamdulillah. So there's like an empty place in my heart. But I found it in this manner, by studying the books and listening to the recordings and being diligent in that affair on your own free time. So this is a great, great benefit. What I'm advising you to do, you should do it. If you don't know Arabic, you do it in English. You take the English classes that have been recorded previously, and you sit and you pick out on this subject. In Aqidah, these books, I'm going to finish them. In Fiqh, these books, I'm going to finish them. In Adab and Akhlaq, these books, I'm going to finish them. These are the main issues that you need. You need Aqidah, you need Fiqh, and you need Akhlaq, Adab. You have to know your creed, you have to know how to fulfill the rites of worship, and you have to have proper manners and application of all of that. So these three sciences here, these three subjects here, this is what you need to focus on, and attend the classes in the masjid if you can, no doubt about that, but benefit from the recordings in a structured manner. In a structured manner, and you will benefit, inshallah, greatly, greatly. My point is to take advantage of these recordings and in these programs. Also, Sheikh Suleiman, he has a program similar like Sheikh Abdul Razak's, but it's only one level so far. It's in fiqh, and it's kind of advanced, but it's very beneficial for those who are qualified. So the point is now to say that there's many opportunities for a believer to seek knowledge and to benefit and to be connected with the people of knowledge one way or another. All you have to do is take advantage. All you have to do is be sincere. All you have to do is make a schedule. All you have to do is look at your time and stop wasting time and stop being lazy and stop being helpless and stop being preoccupied with things that are less important and prioritize knowledge in your life and benefit. Also, from the means of being connected with the people of knowledge is by training, is by giving seminars and training the youth and teaching them and teaching and cultivating the youth and the likes like this, engaging and other types of educational seminars where the youth are encouraged to memorize, for example, memorize Usul al-Thalatha, or memorize Qawaid Arba, or memorize Arba'in al-Nawawi, or memorize Kitab al-Tawheed, or memorize al-Ajrumiyyah, so on and so forth. All of this is from the means of being connected with the scholars, and no doubt the last one that we mentioned is, like I said before, going to them directly, going to the people of knowledge and sitting with them, and going to them in their masajid and sitting with them, and going to them where they pray and sitting with them, and the likes like this, and where they teach, and whenever they have seminars like this seminar. They have seminars in Medina often. Even there's one right now. They have seminars in Kuwait often. They have seminars in the Emirates often. Yani Sheikh Suleiman, he has seminars. Sheikh Abdul Razak has seminars. There's seminars often you go to them. Seminar for like 2 weeks, 1 week, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks. And it's intensive. So you go there and there's class in the morning, class in the afternoon, class in the night, like this all day. Even the seminars in Saudi, most of them they pay you. They give you food, they give you drink, they give you housing a lot of times. This is what I know. Whenever I used to go to the seminars in Jazan or in Saimatar and the likes like this with the scholars or anywhere else, they give you free housing. And then they tell you here this restaurant and that restaurant is free. You just go there and tell them you're a student in the seminar. So we go there in the morning, I'm a student in the seminar, we get the food that we want. We go there in the evening, I'm a student in the seminar, we get the food that we don't want. They give you the books and everything like this. They give us the housing. We go there, went to Jazan. The last time I went, I went to Jazan with the Dora, with the scholars and the Mashaykh from Samita and from Jazan, alhamdulillah. And they give you free housing, and they give you free food, and they give you free books. And it's very nice, and they teach you for free. Right? People don't mention that part, huh? People don't mention that part, right? Allahumma stan. Allahumma stan. So to take advantage of these affairs, Kuwait likewise has the same similar affair. Similar affair. Sheikh Suleiman, he'll go to Kuwait. Sheikh Saleh Suhaimi, he'll go to Kuwait. And the likes like this. And if you go and get there, it's all free. They'll give you a place to stay. And many times they give you gift, they give you money, they give you books, they help you out. I'm not saying that so to go for that reason, but when you get there, they help you, wallah. They help you, they make it easy for you. You just gotta get there. Go there sincerely and get there. You hear about the seminar, make plans, go there. But first you gotta learn Arabic. All of this is from connecting with the scholars. Or you go with somebody who knows Arabic and he can connect you shortly. He can give you some advice or some brief reminders or translations and like this, but to really connect with the scholars, you have to know Arabic. This is key. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah help you to learn Arabic. May Allah help you to learn Arabic. So this is from those means. And no doubt if you go there and you go to these seminars or you visit them, you can make connections with them, you can talk to them, you can get their number from them, you can build a relationship personally even, which is good, alhamdulillah, if you're sincere in that. And if you're truthful in that and you want to benefit from them, not to misuse that relationship, then you will benefit greatly from the people of knowledge, alhamdulillah. So there are many different ways to be connected to the people of knowledge. It doesn't mean that you always have to have a tazkiyah from them, or you have to have, they have to know your name and the likes like this. So you be connected to them. If you have a personal relationship with some of the people of knowledge, this is excellent, no doubt, especially if somebody's sincere in that. But the problem is, in recent history, many people abused and misused this affair. And this is our next topic, exploiting the concept of connecting with the scholars. Exploiting the concept of connecting with the scholars for personal gains. Number one, using connections with the scholars to justify personal interests. Some individuals claim to adhere to the scholars' methodology to achieve personal goals such as fame, social status, or financial benefits. These things we should be aware of them. For instance, they might highlight their association with a particular scholar as a means to collect donations or gain public support, while their actual intentions are far from serving knowledge or da'wah. So you have to pay attention. There's a difference between serving Islam and serving oneself in the name of Islam. فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ مَنْ يَخْدِمُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَسْتَخْدِمُ الْإِسْلَامِ. So also, number two, there's individuals here manipulating scholars' statements to serve personal agendas. There are people, what do? They manipulate the statements of the people of knowledge to serve personal agendas, selectively quoting scholars' opinions that align with personal interests while ignoring other statements that do not. Picking and choosing. I think they call that cherry picking, right? Cherry picking, how they're going to pick the one they like and hide the one they don't like. Or they're going to cut and paste the one that indicates what they like, and they're going to forget or neglect or delete what's before and what's after it in order to misuse the statement and to confuse the people to establish personal agendas. All of this is from the foul and lowly ways. From number two, likewise, selectively quoting scholars' opinions that align with personal interests while ignoring other statements that do not. Also misusing scholars' fatawa out of context to support specific views or decisions. These are all things we do not want to do. We learn about evil so that we do not do it. So we're not going to misuse the fatawa of the people of knowledge to follow our desires. To follow our desires and take them out of context. Sheikh so-and-so said you can do this. Well, Sheikh so-and-so said you can do that. Many times there will be an issue where the majority of the scholars, they have a clear position, and the issue is in general very clear. And then one scholar differs. So the people who want to follow their desires, they'll go, well, Sheikh so-and-so said this. Right? That, and then neglect years of efforts and the likes like this in order to follow their desires. They're not following Sheikh so-and-so, they're following their desires. So we have to be careful misusing the fatwa of the scholars out of context to support specific views or decisions, or to follow our desires and whims. This is the wrong understanding of having a connection with the people of knowledge. It's exploiting this relationship and connection with the people of knowledge. Number three, promoting partisanship for specific figures. Exploiting the concept of connecting with scholars to foster partisanship for a particular scholar himself or head figure, while disparaging or undermining others who may differ on matters of ijtihad. They have a difference of opinion about issues of ijtihad in some affairs that it's allowed to differ in. And some people, they will exploit this concept here of connecting with the scholars in order to raise and praise one person and to belittle anyone who is contrary to him. And a lot of times the ones who get praised a lot are the ones they happen to get connected to. If they happen to get connected to one of these people of knowledge, these people with bad intentions, all of a sudden they make big nicknames for them. Al-Alama, Al-Walid, if you see him, he's Allahu al-Musta'an. These are realities that we should be aware of. So there's obstacles in seeking knowledge. You must have knowledge and light, and you must be truthful and sincere. If you're truthful and sincere, Allah will protect you, inshallah. But there are many obstacles in this pathway. Also, from these aspects, portraying any disagreement with that scholar's opinion as a deviation from the religion or the methodology of Ahl-Sunnah. So this is from exploiting the concept of being connected. The one they're connected with, they portray any disagreement with that scholar that they're connected with, or any differing from his opinion whatsoever, as a deviation in the religion and a violation of the manhaj. Get him out of here. Right? Allah musta'an. Or even the ones who are a little bit wara, they have some piety, they say question mark. They don't get him out of here, they put question mark. Allah musta'an. So number four, distorting the concept of obedience to the scholars. Number four, from the aspects of exploiting the concept of connecting with the scholars for personal gains, distorting the concept of obedience to scholars. Presenting the connection with scholars as absolute obedience, thereby discouraging critical thinking, ijtihad, or even questioning fatwas, or even questioning the fatwa of specific scholars. You say, how can you question him? He's the great scholar of this science and that science. And even the greatest scholar of this science and that science, he makes mistakes, barakallahu fik. He's not correct every single time. He's not the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatest scholar of hadith in our days, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he goes back on his own. One time he'll declare it weak, next time he'll declare it authentic. One narration declared authentic, he'll go back on it, he'll declare it weak. And he'll declare this one authentic, and some scholars will come refute him and declare it weak. And they'll go back and forth and the likes like this because they're men. Kullu wahidin minna radun wa madun alayh. Each one of us. So this is the case. No one is absolutely perfect. So do not deem or believe anyone to be absolutely perfect. To be absolutely perfect in the affairs of the religion. We don't say that outwardly, and we don't act like that either. Not by our tongue and not by our manners and conduct or by our body language. Because some people, they don't say that with their tongue, but that's what they do though. That's what they do, and that's what they impose on others. What have they been at? Presenting the connection with scholars as absolute obedience, thereby discouraging critical thinking, ijtihad, or even questioning the scholars' fatwa. Also promoting the idea that scholars are infallible, which contradicts the teaching of Ahl-Sunnah and the fundamentals of the Salafi da'wah. contradicts the teaching of the Sunnah, and contrary to the fundamentals of the Salafi da'wah. Number five, exploiting scholars to promote certain groups or ideologies, using the names of scholars as a shield to enhance the image of groups and ideologies that deviate from the Salafi methodology. The people, they attach themselves to particular personalities. So, oh, he's a sheikh of Sheikh Uthaymeen. He's a student of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Oh, he's a student of Sheikh Ibn Baz. He's a student of Sheikh Al-Albani. He's a student of Sheikh so-and-so. The likes like this. They do the likes of these affairs. They hide behind these names. And in reality, they're in contradiction to what those scholars were upon. Even if at one time they were those students, and in these days now, they are contrary to what they were upon. They're not upon the way of those scholars anymore. It's clearly in their statements and their fatwa and their knowledge and their teaching and their books and their works and the likes like this. So they use these names, yani, to hide behind them to enhance the image of these groups or ideologies that deviate from the methodology of the Salaf. Also, from these means of exploiting the scholars to promote certain groups and ideologies, attributing false statements or positions to scholars to support political or partisan agendas. Political or partisan agendas. There are many negative consequences that come from this affair. Number one, damaging the reputation of the scholars. Associating scholars' names with personal interests leads some to distance themselves from the scholars. Many people, they don't like the people of knowledge, or they have problems, or they have bad thoughts of the scholars because of what some of the so-called students have done by defaming them, or by blaming them, or by demonizing them, or what is it called, character assassination, or because of the fitna that they did along in the name of that scholar. People think that the scholar is harsh or rude, or that he knows about these affairs, or he is in agreement with what some of these students are doing, or some of these individuals are doing. In reality, he does not know any of that, and he's free from that. So then some people, they think that that's what he's upon, and they turn away from him and the benefit that he has. So these people, either they're extremely ignorant or they're plants, turning the people away from the scholars of the Sunnah. And Allah knows best, it's both affairs. It's both affairs. Some of them are ignorant and they really think they're right, and others they follow their desires and they want to have position, and others they're plants and they want to corrupt the ranks of the people of the Sunnah. The people of the Sunnah. So we should pay attention to that. Negative consequences. Undermining the trust of the genuine scholars creates doubts about scholars' intentions and credibility. Dividing the Muslim community increases the partisanship and the different sects amongst the Muslims. By having these problems, taking advantage of connections and relations with the scholars with bad intentions. Waliyadhu billah. How can we avoid some of these affairs? Verify the authenticity of statements attributed to scholars. You have to verify. So Sheikh so-and-so said this. Well, sometimes they lie. Or sometimes it's a lie. Wallahi, I heard myself. I heard myself in Medina for many years, for at least 2 years. It's spreading through Medina. And that Sheikh Ubaid, rahimahullah, he went from Sheikh Abdul Razak. Come to find out after 2 years, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. We asked Sheikh Ubaid, heard it with my ears. He said, Sheikh Abdul Razak, he's a great scholar from Kibar al-Ulama. La na'rifu alayhi ayya usul al-hafazida. We don't know any bad principles with regards to him. He's from the major scholars of the Sunnah. I said, SubhanAllah, for 2 years I'm thinking that the man is warning from him. And the likes like this is what is spreading amongst the people. So sometimes people lie. Sometimes people lie. The people lie to cause separation and division amongst the ranks of the Sunnah. Many times, like I'm mentioning here, there are people who have bad intentions. They want to corrupt and weaken the ranks of the Salafis. Because the Salafi call is the true call. And if it's divided, then it will be conquered. It will not benefit. They will not thrive. They will not strive. They will not produce any. They will not produce fruits. And at this time, there will be nothing to deal with. You just push them away. You just send one over there to cause some troubles. They start fighting amongst each other and they're preoccupied. We don't have to worry about them. We can go do this and we can go do that. We can go do this and go do that. So the enemies of Al-Islam, wallahi, they play many games. They play many games and they have great efforts in misleading and deterring the youth. So we must, before accepting any fatwa or opinions or statements, to be diligent to ensure that it's from them, it's from the scholars, and it has been mentioned or transmitted in the proper context. Also promoting the correct understanding of connecting with the scholars. In order to avoid these affairs, we have to clarify to the people what does it mean to be connected with the scholars. Because some people, they say this affair, you have to connect with the scholars. But that is كلمة حق يراد بها and baatil. It's a statement of truth, but they intend by way of that falsehood. And you only connect with the scholars that praise me. You got to connect yourself with the scholars, meaning the ones that I translate for, meaning the ones that praise me, the ones that like me, the ones that I have a tazkiyah. Anybody who doesn't have a tazkiyah, I don't have it. No, not those scholars, just these scholars, right? And then when those scholars find out, then they drop them and they say, no, these scholars, they have new scholars. New scholars come. In the last few years, many new scholars came. People don't know that. Who are they? They're not scholars. Promote the correct understanding of connecting with the scholars. Emphasize that scholars are human and fallible. And connecting with them means benefiting from their knowledge, not venerating them above their rightful status. Also, from this affair, combating partisanship. Raise awareness about respecting scholars' differences and avoiding blind allegiances to any individual or group. In these affairs, whenever there's a difference of opinion about affairs of ijtihad and the likes like this, there's no need to go to extremes and drop everybody. Or anyone who doesn't agree with me, then he's a hizbi, or he's this, or he's that. This is all from following whims and desires. Rather, one of them is right, and one of them is wrong, and both of them making ijtihad. The one who's right, alhamdulillah, the one who's wrong, may Allah forgive him and pardon him. But we follow that which is clear and that which is true. And we respect both of them and preserve their honor, so long as they're people of the sunnah, and well-known scholars of the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, it's very easy. We don't praise this one and raise him above his level. We don't drop this one because he slipped and made a mistake, and the likes like this. This is all from the ways of the haddadiyah and the ways of the enemies of the sunnah. So we have to combat partisanship, and we have to clarify this affair. Like you said, we cast it away and we do away with it. Raising awareness about respecting scholars' differences and avoiding blind allegiances to any individual or group. To any scholar or student or translator. We don't have allegiances to these people. We have allegiance to Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. That's it. Educate the public. Encourage the people to follow evidence and consult scholars who adhere to the Quran and Sunnah and the methodology of the Salaf. So we say that connecting with scholars is a noble means of preserving the correct understanding of Islam. But it must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah and free from personal interests or hidden agendas. Respecting scholars does not mean venerating them above their rightful levels, nor exploiting them. Rather, it means benefiting from their knowledge and manners within the guidelines and legislated limits of the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding and the methodology of the pious predecessors, radiyallahu anhum. So therefore, connecting with the scholars is not just a matter of acquiring knowledge, but as well is a strong means to safeguard and maintain the correct methodology and sound understanding of the religion. In the face of these modern day challenges, Muslims must be diligent in seeking knowledge from reliable sources, which will strengthen their adherence to the correct creed and be a means to protect them from deviation by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the scholars have a high and lofty status. And to be connected with the scholars is from the means of safety in this life and the hereafter. But a person, he must be sincere in that. He wants to connect with the scholars to benefit from them, to learn from them, to follow them and the good that they have, and to follow them and the knowledge that they have, and to understand the religion and the proper understanding, to take on their manners and etiquettes and the likes like this. So you learn from the scholars' knowledge and you learn from the scholars' manners. You learn from them likewise demeanor. You learn how to be a man. You learn how to be a man, to have manhood, to have honor, to have self-respect and dignity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You hold yourself like a man. You don't hold yourself like a coward. You're not as scared of the people. You fear Allah Azza wa Jal. You see these affairs like this, any of the people of knowledge, they're strong. The people of knowledge, they're courageous. The people of knowledge, they're kind. The people of knowledge, they're generous. The people of knowledge, they're honest. The people of knowledge, they're truthful. The people of knowledge are direct. The people of knowledge, they're loving. The people of knowledge, they will never betray you or trick you or use deception to get over on you. And the likes like this. So this is the case. And to learn who they are and to benefit from them is of great, great, great benefit. But we should not be misled or let others take advantage of us in the name of connecting with the scholars. From the best things that you can do, inshallah, that will help you, but no one is safe except for those whom Allah saved them and protects them, is to learn the Arabic language. To learn the Arabic language and seek knowledge from the people of knowledge directly. sincerely and truthfully and ask Allah to save you from the fitan and to guide you to the good teachers and educators, and you will be good inshaAllah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.